The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Stormy Monday, happy hour. Dom, we're finally at a trial for Trump.
Woo!
We got Rich in there, lightly screening your phone calls so you can be a part. Always love it when you join the show at 844-967-2789. One other digression. Dom, I am hopeful, and we are in heated negotiations to have you join us for like 3 hours a day. And we will relish the time when Dom can give each and every day as much time as Crudy does, because you got a day job right now. In fact, you kind of got a couple of day jobs. Something's got to give.
Something's got to give, man.
Because I want you on this radio show, and as this trash texting Jeff
thanks,
for
Jeff.
3 hours each and every day. He says it's very painful to listen to you without. I'm like, then don't listen to me, Jeff. You know, don't. Just don't listen and trash talk. Just don't listen. I'd be okay without you, Jeff, but I'm glad you do listen. And Dom, I'd be very, very happy and look forward to a day very, very soon when we can have you on the airways for 3 hours a day. And as you well know, we've turned the clock back to a certain way, shape, or form. We don't work here. This is a small media production, Dom, and we're trying to save democracy and finance my kids' college education. So we got bills. You know what I'm saying? We got bills. So if we've done a little commerce today, I apologize. Mea culpa. But this is how you play along. This is how you participate. Buy a little devil gummy legal cannabis, or you buy yourself a t-shirt, you give one to your kid for his bar mitzvah, whatever you got to do. This is how we build a media empire. Or at least it's the best idea my 17-year-old brought to the table.
All right. Thank you.
But Dom, Tom Hartman, our friend and colleague and broadcast, and you brought it to my attention. Tom's got something to say about this. And Dom, I'm going to have to let you start us off.
I saw this one yesterday. And you know, Tom can get a little long, but he's got a great point, and we've talked about this quite a bit. And I love it when I hear other national guests bring it up. Here's what Tom says. Saw this one at the Raw story. Inside the fight to overcome America's dangerous right-wing media machine. Ooh, Tom. You know, of course, Tom's part of the what? The left-wing media machine, right?
There ain't no left-wing media machine. There's no left-wing media machine. I would know. I've been looking for it for 13 years, Tom.
Tom starts out, Vladimir Putin understands better than Democrats and Democratic donors how to seize control of a nation. Democrats damn well better learn the lesson, and fast. Forget about the economy and even abortion. It's the media, stupid, Tom Hartman writes. When Putin wanted the Central African Republic to give him multiple gold and mineral mines in that resource-rich country, the first thing his agent, Yevgeny Prigozhin, I think he's dead now, did was to buy a radio station and start running propaganda about the benefits of the Central African Republic creating closer ties to Russia. Similarly, when Putin wanted to put Trump into the White House, he had Prigozhin's Internet Research Agency, a massive, well-funded troll farm based in St. Petersburg, use swing state polling and other internal RNC confidential information to send more than 100 million targeted Facebook impressions to swing state Americans. Paul Manafort, remember that guy? That was Trump's campaign manager in 2016 and a former employee who took over $10 million from one of Putin's favorite oligarchs, handed that data, that polling data, off to Russian intelligence, leading in part to his going to prison. Trump pardoned him, that is now talking about bringing him back into the 2024 campaign, because of course he is. 26 of Putin's IRA people were similarly indicted by the Mueller investigation, although American law has not been able to reach them in Russia. Another example is Russia's Putin and Hungary's Orban. In both cases, they used, just as Trump is promising to do here if he's reelected, libel laws to drive quote-unquote normal and progressive radio, newspapers, and TV out of business and replace them with the equivalent of Fox quote-unquote news owned by friendly oligarchs, proclaiming the wonders of Putin and Orban all day, every day. Autocrats and fascists, it seems, know the importance of media ownership. Hitler and Mussolini also took over radio and newspaper during their time. Why this simple lesson is lost on wealthy progressives is confounding. The main reason the GOP has so much power in Congress is that in low population rural states, that only voices on the radio are promoting Republicans. There are over 1,500 right-wing commercial radio stations and around 900 religious nonprofit stations, all blasting out a pro-Republican message 24/7. Crudy, they quite literally reach into every nook and cranny, no matter how rural or obscure, of America.
And then Tom writes, on the progressive Democratic side, there are only a handful of large commercial stations across the country, almost entirely located in big cities like Chicago and Minneapolis. Shout out KTNF, shout out WCPT. I think they take little doses of the devil's advocates in both those markets, Tom. Sirius XM, which also carries Tom's show, is the only national alternative for progressive talk radio, but requires a satellite receiver and a paid subscription. Similarly, giant corporations that control the majority of search and social media have a pronounced rightward tilt. Now, Dom, I felt like this was the case after 2016. After Trump won, we saw a definite change in the algorithms on the live streaming of our fine radio product. We got muted really hard.
I would say a tenth of what it was.
Maybe a tenth. And anyways, Dom, we're a fine talk radio product. Greatest ever, some say. But anyways, when Google, as Tom Hartman writes, stopped spidering alternet.org about a decade ago, for example, it so wiped out that site that they had to sell themselves to an entrepreneur. I know that story, Dom. Facebook's Zuckerberg had private dinners in the White House with Trump, and Elon Musk is openly implying that Democrats represent a threat to America. Progressives don't see the algorithmic amplification of their messages that conservatives do on either of those platforms, even though the country is politically roughly 50-50. And apologists for the platforms will argue that because algorithms are designed to promote hot emotional content and right-wingers are more likely to create inflammatory content, but because these companies continue to keep their algorithms secret, there's no way to confirm any of these claims made by me or them, as Tom Hartman writes. And every 4 years, Democratic donors, particularly large Democratic donors, put literally billions, with a B, billions of dollars into campaigns for Democratic candidates. If they'd simply purchased a few hundred, now he's talking my language, Dom. If they'd simply purchased a few hundred strategically located radio stations, particularly in rural areas, they'd have gotten a much better return on their investment. In rural areas where people regularly drive long distances just for routine things like shopping, radio is still incredibly important. Red states should begin to flip purple and then blue just in time for elections. For example, in the past few years, Republican-aligned businessmen have bought over 300 Spanish-language radio stations across the country and put them on right-wing Spanish-language hosts. The result is clear today. The Hispanic vote is bending towards Trump. In 2004, when Air America was rolled out, I wrote the original business plan, writes Tom Hartman. It was successful for as long as it was in large part because our programs were carried by Lee stations owned by what was then Clear Channel and now iHeartMedia. I like to call them Heartless Media. We were on more than 50 Clear Channel stations in almost all of the nation's major markets. Following a string of Democratic victories in cities and states where Clear Channel was airing Air America shows and the election of Barack Obama in 2008, the company was purchased in a leveraged buyout by Mitt Romney's Bain Capital and Thomas Lee. Ironic that Romney would run for president 4 years later. As Tom Hartman notes, when Mitt Romney decided to run for president in 2012, Clear Channel began pulling Air America's progressive programming off the air, dramatically cutting Air America's audience and then advertising revenue. My home station, Portland's KPOJ, was flipped by Romney's company to sports just a few months before the 2012 election. When we get flipped, they Trump won in Madison. That's when they flipped the only lefty talk station left in this state. And lacking that critical mass of audience to support advertising revenue, the progressive network was soon bankrupt. And 2 years later, so was Clear Channel because of the debt load dumped on it by Romney's business model, then reincarnated as iHeartMedia. Meanwhile, the right-wing social and traditional media machine continues to elect Republicans with big funding from right-wing corporations and billionaires who own them and fund right-wing think tanks. As Ken Vogel et al. Pointed out in a 2011 article for Politico, the Heritage Foundation pays about $2 million a year to sponsor Rush Limbaugh's show and about $1.3 million to do the same with Hannity's, and it considers it money well spent. As Tom Hartman writes, to the best of my knowledge, none of the talkers on the left have ever been funded in such a fashion. We have not. I can confirm, Tom, we are selling weed and T-shirts around here because we are not funded by money of that sort. And as he continues, small wonder that Hannity now owns a real estate empire worth tens of millions and Limbaugh, before he died, could brag of an eight-figure net worth or more. Yeah. Well, it helps if somebody's supporting it financially, Dom. Now, there is a civic media here in the state of Wisconsin. I think this is a unique beta test going on here. But it's a one-state appeal, and it doesn't travel. It's not changing the politics in Arizona or North Carolina or Nevada or Georgia. You know, so tell your friends. But most importantly, tell them about the Devil's Advocates and the T-shirts you can buy from us. Yeah. Once again at devilradioswag.com, because we want 3 hours of Dom and my kid wants to go to college. And we got bills and Soros ain't paying them yet.
Yeah.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Love it when you join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dom, you brought to my attention a article published by Tom Hartman. We found it at the Raw Story. I'm sure it's published elsewhere as well. But Tom bemoans the uneven media landscape in our nation. And we're living it, dude.
We are living it. As is Tom. What do you say? 1,500 right-wing talk radio commercial stations and about 900 religious nonprofit stations, all blasting out a pro-Republican message 24/7.
Dom, when I started this little endeavor with you, and they did a media study in the state of Wisconsin in 2016, and at that time, there were 81 right-wing talk radio stations in the state of Wisconsin. And they were cracking out 235 hours a week of content. And most of them built their day around Rush Limbaugh in the middle of the day. And as Tom points out, when Rush died, he was rich. Hannity's rich. But all Limbaugh ever did was radio. He never moved on to Fox News. He was basically, I mean, I know Monday Night Football, a short-lived endeavor. And the late night show, that half an hour, hour show he had. But primarily, this guy just made his money on radio and he got rich in part because think tanks financed him. They invested in what he was trying to do. So, a little bit more from Tom here. But more important, the influence of these well-financed talkers talking about Russian Hannity altered America's political landscape in less than three decades. What this show is that movers and shakers on the far right, the right-wing billionaires, understood the power of media and took Lewis Powell's advice to get control of America's media. When George W. Bush was president, twice a year, Dom, he invited talk radio hosts to broadcast live from the lawn of the White House and made administration officials available for interviews. Obama stopped the practice, probably because there are so few stations programming progressive content. It was during his presidency that Romney's Bain Capital took down Air America. I'd have gone, Dom. I'd have been on that lawn.
I know you
would have. I'd have pushed some Easter eggs if I had to, just to, you know, fit the part, Dom, but I would have gone. Now, Tom Hartman writes, I've written about this for years, including major pieces at The Nation and on Salon. But Democratic donors being pushed by Democratic consultants who make their money from commissions on placing. I'm sorry, Dom.
Commercials.
Yes. Yeah,
placing commercials.
I've they get lost paid. My spot here.
I got it here. Once again, Tom writing. He's been saying this for years, including The Nation and Salon. But the donors, the Democratic donors being pushed by Democratic consultants who make their money from commissions on placing commercials have largely ignored this gaping hole in the Democratic media world. As a result, red states are redder than ever, and Republicans are following the inclinations of right-wing radio hosts who offer them a built-in national echo chamber, putting democracy itself at risk. Hannity had a huge influence over Trump, and Republicans across the country appear on shows with these hosts daily. Oklahoma Republican Senator James Lankford, for example, recently revealed that if his bipartisan legislation to secure the southern border passed the Senate, a talk radio host told him flat out, quote, if you try to move a bill that solves the border crisis during this presidential year, I will do whatever I can to destroy you because I do not want you to solve this before the presidential election. Tom continues to write, nationally syndicated right-wing host Jesse Kelly later claimed credit for the threat. Good for the GOP, bad for America. Tom continues, I pushed this idea of Democratic donors buying radio stations hard during the Obama administration, even bringing the topic up in a meeting at the White House. Bernie Sanders, our pal, helped organize a group of legislators to listen to a presentation suggesting this by me and a handful of other Air America talk hosts. Our goal was to encourage them to reach out to big Democratic donors to invest in progressive media. The legislators listened respectfully, but when their chance to respond to our proposal came, Senator Hillary Clinton suggested that such things were best left to the free market. A congressman then suggested that NPR was doing a fine job of educating people, so why should they create a progressive network? The meeting went downhill from there, which brings us to the current moment. There are some indications that at least one major Democratic donor is looking into buying radio stations, as Semfor recently reported. Over the last 2 years, Soros Fund Management, there's Soros, Crudy, the firm founded by the billionaire investor and now controlled by the Open Society Foundation, has become an increasingly key player in the oldest electronic mass media, radio. In February, the company became the largest shareholder in Odyssey, the bankrupt second largest radio company in the United States, with more than 230 U.S. stations and a podcast arm that includes Candace 13 and Pineapple Street Studios. In 2022, Soros invested an undisclosed amount in Crooked Media, the liberal podcast network behind the ultra-popular Pod Save America. And if it works out, it's the beginning, but we have miles to go to catch up to the massive right-wing media machine that includes 3 television networks, over 2,000 radio stations, and thousands of podcasters and conservative talk hosts given the opportunity because of that infrastructure. It's time to get started. Tom Hartman writing, found that one at the Raw Story. Man after my own heart.
From Hartman's lips to George Soros' checkbook, perhaps. Don.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be swell. We don't control such things. Right. You know what I mean? It's pipe dreams and wishful thinking I feel so often on the left. It would be so much more impactful if they were funded actually by the audience. I mean, Bernie Sanders literally did stuff, $27 at a crack, right? Yep. And it was sustaining. It was enough money. But of course, how do you crowdfund a radio network? I mean, I've kept them on the air, you know, when it was broadcast radio, Dom, and you know, that was pretty much the whole time we operated WRD and WTTN. It was broadcast radio because I was broadcast. Yep. And there were times when the audience stepped up and kept us on the air. And for extended periods of time, the pandemic comes to mind. I don't know how to get from here to there. I don't know. And I think here's the good news. Relative to buying a television station, you can buy a whole state. You can buy and build a whole network. I've seen it done here in the state of Wisconsin. Look around, Civic Media. It's built. It's up. It's operating. And it's cheaper probably than one radio station. Television station. If you added up cumulative expense, radio is cheap media relative to TV. It could be done. You know, these investments. I'm looking at buildings out the window here on State Street. Some of these buildings cost more than building out the entire infrastructure of the state of Wisconsin cost from the acquisition of 20 radio stations. Added together is probably less than that building right there cost. You know, so it can be done. Other states could be built. And you should buy some t-shirts because we got bills around here as well. And Soros ain't writing us any checks. George, get the t-shirts at devilradioswag.com. And also coffee mugs and other cool stuff. And more Devil's Advocates. Your phone calls, they could be next. Yes, Soros, buy it all. And then give us a little place in the corner. 844-967-2789.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devils. Advocates Radio Show, a happier, happy hour, a stormy Monday edition. Although the weather is quite fine, as is my mood, Dom. Tom Hartman encourages George Soros to go buy us a radio network. And, you know, Tom, we will follow you on that fine radio network when we're done spending George Soros' money. But to my experience, because I've been asking George to buy me a radio network for a decade or more. George does whatever motivates George. You know what I mean? That's what rich people do. They do whatever they think's a good idea in their best interest, in the interest of democracy, the country, but the investment in radio. Now, I see the tea leaves. I'd like to read into the tea leaves. I saw Soros buying Latino radio stations. I know that Soros' group is trying to buy into this, and I hope they know that we're out here in Wisconsin, Dom, doing our damnedest to preserve democracy in what is a hurricane, a battleground state each and every year. And we're here. Here we are, George. If you need us, you know, look for the people wearing the cool t-shirts.
But also to Hartman's point, it's not just, you know, guys like Soros, it's just donors in general. The Heritage Foundation was funding, you know, millions of dollars a year to Hannity and to Rush Limbaugh, right?
Well, so to keep them properly motivated, Dom. You know, because staying on, doing 10 more years of broke-ass radio has less appeal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Has less appeal.
But it's you cannot deny what's happening, right? When we've been talking about this, and it seems like we repeat ourselves when something new comes out on this topic, because as you mentioned, we've been beating this drum, living this life for a very long time, and we see it going on. It's like, hey, well, they're doing it over there. Why can't we do it here? Well, because it depends on the motivations. If folks get paid a commission to place an ad, that's different than getting paid a commission to, I don't know, broker a real estate transaction with a radio deal. Those are longer term things. They're different. They come and go.
I know a guy who would do that for them.
I know this. I know a guy who's done it, Crudy. And when you buy, you take the money and you just buy the commercials during the political season. Well, that money's gone. There's some return on it in the sense that people heard the message, but you could spend that same amount of money and actually buy hard assets that you could keep and sell at a later point if you wanted to. So it's not like it hasn't been tried. So I don't know. Maybe it's just got to get to a certain point to get constantly beaten over the head and drive around, different parts of the country and just scan through your radio station. Man, Curtis, you and I, we put some miles on in our lives. I know you do this, but you drive me crazy. Click, click, hit the button.
Scan, now you know what my college experience was like living with you, yeah. Dude.
Yeah. I did control the remote control. That was a thing. But you can't get away from it, right? It's like trying to drive around and not hear a Van Halen song. You're always going to hear Van Halen out in the middle of nowhere in the state of Wisconsin. I love Van Halen. I'm not knocking. It's just the case. It's just a matter of fact. And when you drive around, you hear the constant right-wing and religious station. Now, to the number Tom threw out there again, 1,500 right-wing commercial radio stations, 900 or more religious nonprofits, all doing the same thing, all saying the same thing. That's a hard hill to climb.
Vote for Trump. Vote for Trump. And I mean, literally, that's what they're doing. Clay Travis, we've got some sound of Clay, and callers, be patient for just a minute longer. Right-wing talk radio's own Clay Travis. This guy is now the new midday guy. He's the new Rush Limbaugh since Rush is dead. And he and Buck Sexton do a show together. And Clay came out and basically said, well, if I were in the New York jury pool, I would get on the jury, and regardless of the evidence, let's hear it from the man. We've got it.
If you are out there and you are seated on a Trump jury, I believe you should vote not guilty as a matter of principle, because for the first time in over 240 years, the person in political power, that is Joe Biden and his Department of Justice, is trying to put his chief political opponent in prison for the rest of his life. I think that is wrong. It's so wrong that as a matter of my personal principle, and I would encourage you as well, you should vote not guilty and let the election determine who is actually president of the United States, not let them interfere. But this is from Eric Swalwell. Jury tampering. That's what they do. It's a felony. I responded, this isn't jury tampering, you imbecile. I would nullify if I were seated on this jury as a matter of principle. I think all Americans with a comprehension of basic justice should do the same. Also, you slept with a Chinese spy and used campaign funds for Super Bowl tickets.
Wow. I mean, what? Okay. And who is this guy again? And why do we care?
Well, because he's in hundreds of national radio stations. He's one of the biggest syndicated hosts, Clay Travis. This is what the right's telling people. This is just one small example of what the right tells people each and every day. That guy's playing out across the nation, state.
Is it irony or just straight up BS that he's so concerned about Swalwell using campaign money to go to a game, but Donald Trump lied and used his own personal money to keep the stormy quiet, and then perpetrated fraud by trying to get a write-off writing it off as legal expenses. Totally fine with that part of it, Clay. Notice he doesn't address the actual issue. Oh, this is how I feel, Clay. Come on. I mean, and if you don't have it, so just hearing that right now, we were having a conversation with Clay right now, we'd be all up in his ass. But because he, will filter out who he wants to talk to, you can talk to us. We barely filter you out. 844-967-2789. No one's pushing back. You're going to do that, Clay, based on principle? You don't think he broke any laws, Clay? You didn't even hear the evidence, Clay. Don't you think maybe you should, if you're going to be on the jury, have an open mind? If you want the justice system to work, shouldn't you then have an open mind, Clay, instead of trying to just nullify the jury?
Just for clarity's sake, U.S. Rep. Eric Swalwell said jury tampering. That's what they do. It's a felony. What you heard was allegedly jury tampering, because when Clay speaks, when Clay Travis speaks on the nationally syndicated show, he's speaking to millions of prospective New York jurors. And all he has to do is convince one. 844-967-2789. Nick from Madison, how you doing? Conservative,
hey,
Nick. Nick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey,
good.
Wow. Good. Lots to unpack here. But, you know, I guess, you know what?
Take the first bite.
One breath at a time, buddy.
Okay. This is going to, you know, I don't want this to sound like I'm supporting Trump, because I do not, as you know that. But here's, and maybe you guys can enlighten me, but it seems like the whole crux of this case against him with the Stormy Daniels thing is falsifying records. But the thing is, these were internal records. They were never meant to be made public. So how is that?
Sure, they were.
The public?
He was misleading. Mm-hmm. He was falsifying financial records to mislead not just the IRS, because this is cheating on your taxes effectively, but also to mislead the American people, because immediately before the election, let's not forget, Nick, he stiffed the first time. They didn't make the payment to Stormy Daniels until after mm-hmm. the Access Hollywood tape came out. And after the Access Hollywood tape came out, then and only then did Michael Cohen make the payment to the alleged former film star, although I think her videos are still out there. So that speaks to mm-hmm. motive. They were trying to hide this. This wasn't just about, you know, hiding it from the wife. This was about hiding it from the American people. This was his first effort to deceive the American voters. And I would say the most effective one, because he won, Nick. He won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess, I mean, there are no heroes in the story. I mean, because
Stormy Daniels is a hero, man. I mean, hey, man, give it up for Stormy Daniels. What? Putting up with this, sleeping with Trump. Stormy Daniels has not, to my understanding, lied about thing, man. Stormy Daniels is a hero, Nick. I want to hear you say it, brother.
Wait. Well, she took the money, then she sang like a canary.
What's your criticism then? I'm sorry. Hang on. I want to be clear here, because there was, I believe it was Cohen who came out and said this first, right? It was asked about it. And remember when Trump was asked, hey, did you pay? Yeah. I don't know. You have to ask Michael Cohen, right?
And then I watched her on an interview with her now disgraced lawyer. I can't remember his name.
Michael Avenatti.
On an interview. Avenatti. Yes. Telling the whole story after she got paid. So, I mean, like I said, there are no heroes in the story.
Someone breaks an NDA, Nick, you're not bound by it forever, dude. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to cut you off because I don't think you're going to say the proper thing, which is Stormy Daniels is my hero, because she is the courageous one in this story. She is the hero.
Certainly. Yes,
and
she absolutely,
Nick, you could be our hero, because as a conservative, you can still go to devilradioswag.com and buy the slimming, super sexy Black Devils Advocates Radio t-shirt. The next time you call in, you're going to have to click a selfie, or we're not letting you on the line. 844-967-2789. Because Soros don't pay us. Not yet. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. You've been there for forever, man. You know we'd be buying more liquor if Soros paid us.
Hey, Mark.
I've heard this song that the liberal rich have not been buying the radio stations the way they should. I mean, I was hearing Ed Schultz talk about this, over a decade ago, and Tom Hartman talking about it over a decade ago, and you guys talking about it when you started up, that you're wondering why you're the only ones out there, the guy in the wilderness calling out, and singing the righteous song, that for this guy to talk, to suborn a jury, telling them, well, don't bother with the evidence, just say Trump is innocent no matter what. And Donald Trump is guilty of so much more than he's actually ever been charged with.
Well, and Mark, don't forget,
because he's
Mark, don't forget, right-wing talk radio is guilty of a hell of a lot more than trying to get jury nullification in this New York trial of Donald Trump. I mean, right-wing talk radio in the state of Wisconsin has shaped the entire narrative of the big lie, the January 6th. I mean, they're out there telling this lie for fun ratings and profits, Mark. This changes the whole narrative in the state of Wisconsin. They have created a fiction that has been taken as fact. Everybody knows Trump lost, but don't tell Dan O'Donnell that, or Mark Belling that, or Vicky McKenna that. They'll go to their grave, at least on the radio, swearing the opposite, Mark.
Yeah, and why does the Leonard Cohen song "Everybody Knows" come on the head? You know, everybody knows that the good guys lost. I mean, that's what happened in the media here. I mean, they complain about the liberal media, the international liberal media, and the liberal media really is such a small fraction of the conservative media out there, and even the supposed national CBS, ABC, and NBC. I mean, they're corporate media. I mean, they are not all that liberal. I mean,
well, Mark, I think this may not shock you to know, but I think there's probably some major corporate media sorts in this nation that are rooting for Trump in the good old days. Because some about Trump, he drove the ratings. Les Moonves from CBS said, you know, might be bad for the nation, but it's been great for CBS. Well, guess what? They still care about their quarterly stocks, right? That's how most of them get paid, Dom. And, you know, if you got enough money, you got a place in New Zealand. What's the worst that could happen? I was starting to wonder that on Saturday night. My wife asked me to do something. I'm like, sorry, hon, I'm glancing down at my phone. World War III might be kicking off right about now. Are you concerned? I'm a little concerned.
I'm not concerned.
You're not concerned?
No.
Well, if Dom's chill, that puts the whole world at peace.
You're welcome.
You've just solved the Middle East crisis.
Yeah,
Dom's
man,
chill. It's those new devil's gummies.
From bone saw to get it done like Kushner. We're on the Devil's Advocates. One more segment. Come back with us. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines at 844-967-2789. Then stick around for the Busted Pencils.
Dominic Molly Beck reporting over at the Journal Sentinel. Here's the headline. Elections Chief Megan Wolf gets extra security while Donald Trump foments false accusations. As does right-wing talk radio. I mean, these platforms are lifting up these lies, and they're creating this animus towards a bureaucrat who really was just acting at the directive of a bipartisan board, right?
Yes, that's exactly what she was doing. She was doing what the Republicans and the Democrats instructed her to do during the pandemic election. She fulfilled their wishes.
Dominic, 7 months before Wisconsin voters cast ballots for the next president, the presumptive GOP nominee is publicly targeting the battleground state's top elections official and pressuring top Republicans in the state to remove her before November. And where'd he do that, Dom? Well, he went to Joe Gianconte, the regular Joe show in Green Bay. He did it in Milwaukee and Madison with Dan O'Donnell on the Heartless Radio product.
With no pushback from either of those.
Oh, gentlemen. Why would they push back? They're fully embracive of these calls occasionally to violence. Because what do you do when someone stole it from you, Dom?
Well, you got to fight like hell or you're not going to have a country anymore.
Former President Donald Trump's decision to attack Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf comes as the Wisconsin governor has already added security measures for the state's chief election administrator in light of continued threats against her. And the former president is publicly and falsely accusing Wolf of rigging this year's elections 4 years after Trump and his allies sought to meddle with another battleground state's elections by pressuring Georgia Secretary of State to overturn Trump's loss to Joe Biden and terrorized two Georgia poll workers, leading to election subversion charges and a civil defamation lawsuit. I did see today, Rudy asked that the defamation verdict be thrown out. And the response was, go F yourself, Rudy, basically, from the court. Something like that. I paraphrase. Now, Megan Wolf will try and steal another election. Trump said in an interview last week with conservative talk radio host Joe Gianconte, Dom, the regular Joe show, which aired on Green Bay-based WTAQ. Robin Voss should terminate Megan Wolf, and they should put somebody in who's going to be fair, not for the Republicans, just fair. And if they do that, we're going to win the election by a lot in Wisconsin. You know, if they just pick the right sort of loyal partisan to support my efforts. I've given up big ship contracts, a lot of big contracts that nobody else would have given to Wisconsin. Little quid pro quo, thrown in for good measure. I gave, and it never made sense to me. Now we find out why. No, she should be gone. Like they're predicating shipping contracts with Megan Wolf being taken out, like quid pro quo, Dom. Elections officials and experts interviewed by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel warned that Trump's rhetoric could lead to fewer people entering the election administration field. Do you think? More distrust of election outcomes, and at worst, threats to workers' physical safety. Wolf, in a statement to the Journal Sentinel, did not respond to Trump's latest, but in it countered his characterizations of the Wisconsin Elections Administration as a crime scene. Every day, I see firsthand evidence that our elections are run accurately and with integrity at the state level and by our local elections officials, who do an incredible job registering voters, issuing ballots, and managing the voter rolls in each of our states. 1,850 cities, towns, and villages. Do you realize how many people would have to be involved in the conspiracy? 1,800 separate districts. They're running many elections in 1,800 districts. To affect the outcome of a statewide election, that'd be a lot of conspiring, Dom. More so than even the fake elector scheme here at the Capitol, because that only took, a dozen or so willing conspirators. And, you know, Ron Johnson in D.C. to deliver it, that final mile to the VP.
Oh, yes. And let's not forget the other states as well, part of a concerted nationwide plan. One of these spokes in the wheel to overturn the election.
So, anyways, that's what right-wing radio stands up for. It gives Trump a platform to threaten and villainize bureaucrats who are just there at the directive of a council, right? A bipartisan council, one of whom happens to be one of the aforementioned fake electors.
Who remains on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which is, I mean, all par for the course, I guess, these days.
One more quick quote from Megan Wolf. There are many times I wish I could respond more directly to defend myself, my staff, Wisconsin's local elections officials, and the upstanding way in which we administer elections in the state. However, my role is nonpartisan, and my focus is on impartiality, impartially administering the upcoming elections. What she's really thinking is, F that guy.
No doubt. Crudy, go ahead. All right, one last thought here with regards to one of our callers earlier today, our pal, conservative Nick, who would not say, he did say, actually, there are no heroes. And I countered with, Stormy Daniels is a hero. Say it, Nick. And he wouldn't say it. He was lamenting. Oh, she signed an NDA. And then she took the money, and then she talked. So apparently skipping over the whole part that why did she sign the NDA? What was the reason for it? So Donald Trump could keep it quiet so he could interfere with the election on the tail end of the Access Hollywood tape, which will now be used in court, at least not the audio specifically, but the transcripts. Here's what Reuters says in kind of a roundup of the circumstances. On October 20th of 2016, in the waning days before the presidential election, Daniels signed a non-disclosure agreement in which she pledged not to publicly discuss her relationship with Trump in exchange for a $130,000 payment, according to documents filed in the Los Angeles federal court. The pact was signed by Keith Davidson, her lawyer at the time, and Michael Cohen, then Trump's personal lawyer and fixer. The document included a spot for Trump's signature, but he never signed it. In 2018, Nick, after the Wall Street Journal reported on the payment to Daniels, Cohen stated publicly that he paid her using his own money, It was not directed to do so by Trump. Daniels sued Trump and Cohen, seeking to have the agreement invalidated. Trump's lawyers subsequently acknowledged he did not sign the non-disclosure agreement. Nick, it was never executed by Trump and would not seek to enforce it. So therefore, the judge dismissed her lawsuit because the matter was resolved because Donald Trump did not execute the NDA. Nick, say it. Stormy Daniels is a hero.
You could still be my hero, Nick. DevilRadioSwag.com. Buy the slimming black t-shirt and one for everyone you know. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.